Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Oh, here we go, Delvin again. Delvin Dave is my new nickname. Hey, listen, this is kind of an impromptu show, and let me tell you why. I had on my schedule to write today with my good friend Jim Hawkins, who had a birthday yesterday. Happy belated birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
And my new friend Aaron Loy, who comes in town from Texas and quite often to write. And we got talking about some honors that they just got, and I thought, well, we got to do a podcast about this because this is incredible news. And I want to congratulate you guys because
thank you.
This is a song that I really love and believe in, and I want to share it with our listeners, and I want to get under the hood and talk about how great songs are written, and this is a good example of that. So first, welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Jim, thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about you, Aaron. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to. I hate podcasts that go, oh, so tell me all about yourself. If you haven't done your homework, right, you have no business interviewing folks. But I'm sorry, I'm just getting to know you, yeah. And like I said, this was impromptu. So you're from Texas?
I am. I live outside of Fort Worth.
Fort Worth.
Little town called Aledo, Texas.
It often crosses my mind.
You don't say.
I don't say. I shouldn't have said. So just outside, huh? How long you been playing music?
I've been doing music and songwriting for over 20 years.
Gotcha.
And about 3 years ago, my dad passed away, and that actually kick-started. Thank you. Yeah, he was my best friend, and that passing just kind of got me back into songwriting, and about back in February, I started feeling the move to come up to Nashville.
Of this year?
This year.
Wow. You've come a long way in this town in that short amount of time.
Well, I'm here every other week, pretty much full time when I'm here with my buddy Jim, and he picks me up at the airport, and I crash at his place. We write songs, and we're always at NSAI networking and singing every evening. At a writer's round, whether it's at the Freak Show at the local or the Live Oak or wherever.
Wherever. Well, that's great because you're into all the right places, too, in a short amount of time. Those are two amazing places for songwriting rounds. And with your voice and your ability, it doesn't surprise me that you get into that so quickly. Where did you guys meet, Jim?
Well, we met at a write that didn't go well.
Oh, no. It happens, does it? I've heard that happens.
Yeah. Well, I know it does now. And we were sitting across from each other, and there were a couple times our eyes met, and we kind of rolled our eyes at what was going on. And, you know, they say you bond through trauma. So I think that's, and after that, we just started talking, and he said he was coming up here so often. And I said, I've got an extra bed and bath at my apartment. I said, you can stay with me whenever you're up here.
That's nice.
And so we have just become the best friends and writing partners and just having a great time. And when he's not here, I like to talk him up and get write set up and get writer's round set up for him to play. And
we're kind of like a manager.
A little bit, maybe.
Oh, yeah, to say the least.
That's great. You can tell the friendship is there. And that's important. That's the kind of community that we have here in Nashville, isn't it?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, that's what I love about this town. Jim, you and I, we first met when I was doing the rounds at 12 Keys, and just got to know you. And you're kind of new here yourself. How long have you been in town?
I've just been here 2 years.
Two years?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And your journey here, tell us about that. Where from and why Nashville?
Well, I was a therapist for 25 years. Then I became a NICU nurse. Wow. And I did that for the last 18 years before I retired.
Wow.
And in 2022, I got divorced.
Mm.
6 months later, I retired. 2 months later, I moved here because I decided I'm going to do what I want to do in retirement, and that's write songs.
Oh, boy.
So I came.
It was time for change.
It was. And so that year changed every single aspect of my life, and I love it here so much.
Jim, talk about how, you've built in such a short time a great network, and we talk about this a lot on this podcast, especially for people to come into town. And first of all, let me say that I think you did it right. And Mark Allen Barnett, who's been a co-host on this show from time to time and a great mentor to many songwriters in town, always tells folks there are so many people that just pack up and move here, live out of their car for a while. And he goes, no, man, you know what? You don't have to do that, you know? Check it out. Come a lot like you do, Aaron. Right. Every couple of weeks, come on in. And that's how I did in Cincinnati. And then when you can, when it's affordable and when it makes sense, then do it, you know? So for you, tell us how it opened up for you and how, because you did it right. You retired, you're ready for a change. That was the time in your life to go for it.
Yeah, it was. And I had an incredible amount of support from the people I was working with, where I was retiring from. And everyone just said, yes, that's exactly what you need to do. Because they knew how much I love music.
Yeah.
But I don't play guitar. So,
you play keys?
A little bit. But it was like, I got here, I didn't know one person.
Oh my.
And I just, I went to 12 Keys, like the third or fourth night I had moved here, and started meeting people.
Yeah.
And met, and Greg Matthews sat and talked with me at the bar for, oh, an hour after all the music.
Yeah, we called him Mayor.
Yes.
The 12 Keys.
After all the music was over, he sat and talked with me, and I just felt, okay, I've made the right decision.
Yeah.
And then I just started meeting people. Michael Seff, he started introducing me to people, and I just showed up at every writer's round the first year and a half. I went out at least 4 or 5, sometimes 6 nights a week.
Wow.
Just so I could be seen and people would know who I was. And then eventually they'd start writing with me.
That's how you do it, right there. And you were a good hang every time. And we tell folks, be a good hang.
Yeah.
Be there. You got to be there. You got to show up. Was it the same for you, Aaron, when you first started coming in?
Yeah, it actually was. I just felt called to start coming to the writers' rounds in Nashville. I know Kendra Remedios.
She's a sweetheart.
She is.
I got to get her on this show one of these days.
Yeah, that'd be a great deal for her and you. But yeah, she told me that she was going to move to Nashville about 2 years ago, and she did. And I followed her. And
is she from the same area?
She is. She's from around Mansfield, Texas, which is 30 minutes from where I live.
I didn't realize that. Cool.
Mm-hmm. And I watched her grow as an artist just by going to the writer's rounds. And I reached out to her and I said, you know what? I feel like I need to come up there and start doing the same thing.
Yeah.
My songwriting was getting better. And I came in January. And I actually remember seeing Jim at a writer's round. And before our write that we actually met on, and he was always intently listening to every singer and every song.
Yeah.
That's one thing that you'll notice about him. He will actually shush people if he's
loud. I've seen him do it. Yeah,
But yeah, when I started playing these rounds, that's when I really started to get connected, and I learned that. Really complimenting other artists as well and following them, finding certain artists that you write in their style and potentially get along with, because songwriting is about, it's a relationship.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't click. It's like dating somebody.
That's what Jim was saying. Sometimes it doesn't. And when you find your tribe, the ones that click, you stick, don't you?
That's right. And
that kind of rhymed, didn't it? Sure, you don't want to write today.
You're talking in rhymes already.
But since then, I've worked my way into singing on the Freak Show, that was kind of a benchmark thing because you just can't show up and sing. That's something.
Okay, so if you don't know, the Freak Show is at a place called The Local, where you come as a stranger and you leave as a local, and it is really a hot spot for music and songwriters in Nashville, in the West End. And I'll say the thing about The Local is you just never know who's going to drop in there, from hit writers to artists, Lee Bryce, Ashley McBride, some of the, you just never know who's in there. Mm-hmm. And so to get to ask, and Terry Joe Box, who runs that, is also a hit writer with many cuts. And to get invited into that round is really something. And you've been playing that quite regularly since you've been coming into
town. Yeah, I probably went to that show 12 times just to be present get in front of Terry Joe and talk to the other writers there. And finally, I got on there, started singing there in June. And I think I play there tomorrow night.
Good.
This will be my, I think, eighth time to sing up there. So things are going well there. And in the short amount of time... in the last, I guess it's about 8-9 months that I've been here, I added up yesterday all the songwriters, how many songwriters I've written with, and it's over 30.
Wow.
And that's just through, of course, Jim's help, because he lives here, but going through the rounds, networking, and also being a member of the NSAI.
Which I highly recommend.
Has helped a lot.
We always talk about that Nashville Songwriters Association International. There's a chapter where you live?
There is. There's one in Fort Worth. They have them all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I think abroad as well in Europe.
Oh, yeah. And it's international. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it's a great organization, and it really helps. I mean, if you're a beginner or intermediate or just don't know where you land or where you fall, it's a great place to get a benchmark of where you're at and grow.
100%. So, great. And I tell folks all the time, if you're new and you want to get into songwriting, check out NSAI. See if there's a chapter. You just Google them. You'll find their website. If there isn't, maybe you can start one. Maybe you've got like-minded people. And I'll tell you, I was the one in Cincinnati, and I was before I left, I was a coordinator. And one of the coordinators, and we did some magical things. Previous coordinator, Greg Altamer, dear friend of mine today, we started doing writer's rounds every week. We found a little place in east side of Cincinnati, and Mark Allen Barnett, we used to bring a lot of hit writers in, and it turned into a songwriter festival that we did every fall, and it was really something. I mean, but it all grew out of NSAI, and it grew us as songwriters, and we started coming down to Nashville a lot to write, and it just helped us expand that network like you're talking about. So that when I finally moved to town, I felt like I already had a community. So I can't begin to tell you how important NSAI is. And you guys know, I'm just talking to the folks listening at home and in the car or wherever you're listening. So, but you know, the nice thing, Aaron, when you've got songs and talent you'd have, you can turn heads quite quickly. And I'm just really proud to know you and have you on here. Now I want to talk about this song, because you've got a special song, just won a huge award, and I wrote it down because it's the Texas CMA, Country Music Association. You won the Country Christian Songwriting Contest with this song that we're going to talk about here, and you're going to get to play that where?
At Billy Bob's for the CMA Awards.
Yeah, yeah.
The
Texas CMA Awards at Billy Bob's.
Yeah.
Legendary place. You and your guitar on stage.
Just... acoustic performance and just me center stage, so I can't wait.
That's got to be nerve-wracking, huh?
A little bit.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. No problem. Jim, will you be there?
Of course.
Of course you will.
I wouldn't miss it.
Well, Jim, I want to start with you. Tell us a little bit about the writing of this song. It was just you two?
No, we had another friend, Michelle.
Michelle.
And she...
Michelle Mabel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's awesome.
She and Aaron and I were going to write for a couple of hours at my place and then go down to the Freak Show and enjoy the music. And it started raining and tornadoing and flooding, and so there were warnings all over not to leave where you are because there's so much flooding. And so we said, okay, I guess we write here the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote until about 2 a.m. And often when we came up with a line where we wanted, there would be a thunder, and we'd say, okay, that must be the right line.
That must be the right line.
Yeah. But it was a little difficult getting started on the song, actually. We had an idea. Michelle and I had been going to this one church, and we came separately one Sunday, and she said, I'll meet you at the pew. And when she said that, we kind of looked at each other and said, that sounds like the title for a song. And so we actually brought that to Aaron, who was staying with me at the time, so it was easy to bring it to him. We worked on it, and we couldn't come up with the right angle. It just wasn't quite working. And for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, we kept, and it just wasn't working. We took a little break. Aaron came.
That's the best thing to do, yes, when it ain't clicking. Yeah,
it is. That's what I've been realizing. And Aaron came back and goes, what about a pew for you? And it was like, yes.
Aha moment.
Did the lightning strike then?
It probably did.
Yeah.
It should have.
And so then from there, Aaron is so good with melodies and he's good with lyrics too. He's good with everything.
Yeah.
But he started and we just jumped on it, and it just went smooth after that. And wow, it was just so much fun. And when we were done, we felt we had a good song, but we had a few mimosas that night. So the next morning I kind of, I wonder, is this as good as I thought it was?
Yeah.
And we listened, and it was.
Yeah, we knew it was something special, but we, you know, as songwriters, you think that, and you don't really know for sure. And then
you try to hold in that exuberance.
Yes, I like exactly. To give it
a day or two, and then listen and go, do it. Is this, did I, was I, and then, you know, and then judge from there. And then, even then, I'll try to throw it out at some writer's night, you know, and just to see if it gets any response. But when you first played it out, what happened? Did you play it out?
I did. I played it out probably sooner than I should have.
I always kick myself when I do that.
I know. You're so eager to share it with the world, even if there's four people in the audience. And when it's a new song, it just takes a minute, at least for me, to really lock it down. But
me too.
I played it out. I felt God telling me on stage, just go ahead and play it. And the first time, there's probably 20 or 30 folks in the crowd. But they were a listening crowd, which was really nice. Nobody was talking, and Jim wasn't having to shush anybody. So I played it, and there was a group from over in England, and they actually gave it a standing ovation.
Wow.
And they were just visiting, and this was at Teddy's Tavern near Broadway in downtown Nashville. And it when that happened, it just validated that what we had wrote that night was something very special.
That's great. Now, tell me about entering the contest and how that went, because there's a good story behind that, too.
Well, correct. Jim is always, manager-minded. I have a lot of endeavors back home, businesses.
I need you to manage me, Jim. I really do. I need help. No.
I have kids, and I'm an anesthesiologist as well. So when I'm back home, I'm blowing and going, working hard, and Jim always is reminding me, sending me texts like a dad. Aaron, have you submitted the songs yet? And this is the last day that we had to submit it. I think the deadline was May 30th. And so with May 30th, I got home that night from the OR. It was a late night, and about 11:45 p.m., it was due at midnight, I submitted this song with about 7 minutes to spare.
And oh my gosh.
Linda, the owner of the Texas CMAs, joked about how it was the last submission. So it's really the last but not least. And it came in first.
It perfectly. And it came in first. And what did she tell you?
You know, she said, she actually called me, or I gave me her number, and I called her a couple weeks ago, and on the side of a mountain in Colorado. I was elk hunting, bow hunting. And I call her, and she said that this was the best country Christian song that's ever been submitted.
Wow.
And that in all of her years of running the Texas CMA Association.
That's huge.
She's never had a unanimous vote to win this contest.
Wow.
And she says that she believes that it was because it is what the Texas CMA was founded on, and that she found on. She was a worship leader for 15 years in her church, and God called her to organize the Texas Country Music Association. And since then, there's been a lot of people, a lot of big artists that have come out of Texas through this association. And she was just totally excited. She said that there was 8 judges on the first round that judged almost 500 songs.
Wow.
And then when we made the top 10, there was another set of judges, 8 judges, and every one of them voted for this one.
Wow.
So
I
was just blown away.
What validation. You know what I mean? You have to be blown away. Congratulations. Well,
thank you.
That's awesome. But you guys, you done good. What a great song. Well, and I'm excited for you to play it for us so that we can hear it. What I want you to notice when you listen to this song, the great use of internal rhymes throughout.
And the way that
everything points to the hook. I mean, you guys, it's brilliant crafting and a brilliant melody that fits right along with everything that you're saying. And so I'm anxious to hear it. Can you play it for us?
Yes,
sir. You're around the dining room table. You
know? Yes, yeah, right here.
Jim Hawkins and Aaron Loy are our guests on the Songwriter Connection.
And I'll just preface, this is when we started writing this song, when the idea finally came to us, we wanted to write this message from a church pew's perspective.
Yeah.
And just the imagery behind it.
I love songs that'll take something inanimate like that and make it, you know, almost human. So
yes.
Yeah.
All right, this is a pew for you. There's 20 rows made of oak, been sitting here 40 years. They've seen folks come and go, seen joy and they've seen tears. They're weathered and they're worn from all who've sat in here. They have stories left to tell, they're not going anywhere. When you're in need of some saving, when you have nothing left to lose, when your questions have no answers, when you're searching for the truth, when your heart needs some healing, when your hands need some raising, or if you and Jesus have some catching up to do, there's a pew for you. From wall to wall, they've welcomed all the lost and found in this room. From altar calls, prayer and song, seen the power of God move. They've held a packed house, a congregation of one. They've been here to witness the Holy Spirit. It's not done when you're in need of some saving, when you have nothing left to lose, when your questions have no answers, when you're searching for the truth, when your heart needs some healing, when your hands need some raising, or if you and Jesus have some catching up to do, there's a pew for you. On the back row or down in front or somewhere in between, no matter who you are or where you've been, God saved you a seat. When you're in need of some saving, when you have nothing left to lose, when your questions have no answers, when you're searching for the truth, when your chains need some breaking, when your hands need some raising, or if you and Jesus have some catching up to do, then there's a pew for you. There's a pew for you.
Kind of leaves me speechless, actually. It's a great song.
Thank you, Dave.
You know, when I hear songs like that, lines like that, it does something to your soul. You know, it really does. And I love hearing you play it live. And one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is the live music around the dining room table. So you really brought it to life. And it's a song that, have you recorded yet?
We have recorded it. We're actually releasing it shortly before the award show.
Okay, so it's but by the time that this is out there, it's streaming everywhere. So I want you to look for it under your name.
Yes, Aaron Loy. Two A's. A-A-R-O-N-L-O-Y.
L-O-Y. And it'll be streaming out there. Amazing. You know, the things that I worry about writing a song like that is you got to be careful not to preach, right? People like to be preached at, right? And you did. You accomplished that, didn't you? I love the bridge. God save the sea for you.
You know, we're all broken, and at some point, we all have fallen short. And there's no judgment in this song. This is just a welcoming song, and that's how God is, and that's the God that we believe in, and that's how Jesus is. He's always there to take you back. His hand is always out, and there. As the song says, there's always a seat saved for you. Mm. No matter if it's Sunday, if it's Tuesday, it doesn't matter what hour of the day it is. God has a spot for you.
Really, a come to Jesus song without it, like the normal way you say that, without that, you know, without being, welcoming kind of thing. So, not like we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting, not right. Like that, you know. So. But just very well done. Very
Thank
well
you.
Crafted.
Thank you.
The three of you. Michelle should be here.
I know.
Where's she at?
She has to work.
She has a job.
She has a J-O-B, huh? Yeah. So, Aaron, you are did you say you're an anesthesiologist?
That's correct.
So you're a doctor?
Yes.
So you're like the fifth doctor, I think, we've had on this show. Do you know Hal O'Dell? I think he did the same thing.
Yeah.
Have you met Hal?
Yeah, I know Hal.
Yeah. Doc. You guys need to write together.
We do.
Do you? Yeah. Yes, you do. So. Great guy. And you were in the medical business, Jim, so you guys hit it off right away, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing as we talked how much we had in common, mm-hmm. because in some ways we're very different. I've never been hunting in my life. been fishing one time when I was a kid.
We're going to change that.
Yeah, fishing is very addictive. I mean, you go once and you're going to want to go again.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's kind of like golf. Except not as expensive, I don't think. Unless you buy a boat.
Yeah, right. You have to buy the boat.
You have to buy a boat.
It's better to have a buddy with a boat.
Yeah. Friends with boats. I love boats.
I wrote that song.
Friends with boats?
It's called Buddy with a Boat.
Buddy with a Boat.
Yeah, I haven't released it yet, but it's coming.
Can you play it for us? I know it's putting you on the spot. Even just a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Buddy with a... I gotta hear this.
All right, let's see. Here we go. It's been one heck of a week. Yeah, you guessed it. I lost my job. Turns out my ex was in bed with the judge that signed off. He gave her the house, he gave her my dog. My dear head's got sold to a pawn shop. If you think that I'm heartbroken, consider yourself wrong. Cause I got a buddy with a boat. Head out to the lake full of honey holes where them bobbers sink and the sun all day. If the good times roll, we'll be jumping wakes. When the bike gets slow and hit a party cove, crack open something cold, smoke a little smoke. And we cast these blues away, this old zip code. My buddy with a boat.
Love it! I'm going to tell you what, that is some writing, dude. Who'd you write that with?
I did write it.
That's all by yourself?
Yes, sir.
Solo write?
Yeah. And it's recorded, probably going to release it, for the summer.
It's a good spring, summer,
Nick,
this year. That's great. That's a great song. We're going to take a little break. We're with Aaron Loy and my good friend Jim Hawkins. Don't go away.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Oh, I hate to be annoying, but this is the part where I say, if you're watching on YouTube, click and subscribe. Even though we are not a video podcast, a little... there's always a little slide there for you to stare at, you know, while you're listening. And then you can do other things. And that's what I like about this kind of a podcast. You can put those headphones on and do whatever you're doing while you're listening. I like to listen to podcasts when I work out. Yeah, so I do that. Hey, I found one. You guys, there's this one, and I've been meaning to talk about this. If you haven't heard the podcast by Keith Sharon from the Tennessean called Murder on Music Row, oh, my God.
Wow.
It will hook you from the very first, and it's a true story. And it, in the way he unfolds it and the research this guy has done, it's an amazing podcast, so I highly recommend it.
I'm definitely going to listen to that.
Yeah, you'll dig it. You'll dig it. So anyway, it's good to have you guys, Jim Hawkins and Aaron Loy. We're finding out more about them, and they're doing magical things, and they're doing it right. This is how you do things in Nashville. You are to be congratulated. You really are. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate it. I feel like God called me to be here, and there's no accident that I met Jim at a terrible rite and turned a bad thing into something really good. So we've actually written quite how many we've written about 10 songs together.
Have you?
And then another 12 or 13 with other people. The two of us with other people.
I say when you find you got that magic, you keep it going, yeah. So in a short matter of time, you found your tribe, didn't you?
I have, yeah. Yes, sir.
As we normally say, yeah.
We're just cranking out these songs and seeing what happens next. We know we're on the right path, and this is where God wants us to be. Absolutely. I actually have a song about that.
Yeah, I bet you do.
It's called "Songs for You."
Pew for you, songs for you.
Yes, sir.
That'd be a good follow up, right? Yeah. Well, listen, I wanted to play one of your... You've got a song that is streaming out there right now called Single Mom. So I wanted to hear... I wanted folks to hear the produced Aaron Loy, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about this song.
Well, this song is... it's an empowerment song for all the single moms out there. I spent a couple years as a single dad doing things on my own. And, you know... all the kids' stuff, the homework, the school, the running the business, working and coordinating all that. That was about 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I saw a TikTok post about single moms, and I thought to myself, you know, I really need to write a song to really lift up all those single moms out there that are crushing it and killing it, raising kids on their own. And and it put it in a lot of perspective, and it helped me write this song. And, you know, it ended up, you know, titled Single Mom, and it really got a lot of traction on TikTok, on social media, and a lot of duets were made with this. And I released it right before Mother's Day in 2023.
Great timing.
Yes, sir. And still sing it, and it's still bringing tears to all those single mom's eyes.
That's great. That's awesome. Single right? Solo right?
It was, yes. Okay. I wrote this myself in about 2 hours.
Wow.
So
that's pretty magical.
They don't always happen like that.
They don't. Nope.
But sometimes when that inspiration is there, it just falls into place.
And where'd you record this one?
I actually recorded this at Sound Emporium, and it came out really nice, the arrangement.
Cool.
Here in Nashville.
That's it. Single Mom, Aaron Lloyd is our guest. Hello, Jim Hawkins on the Songwriter Connection Podcast. Thank you for joining us.
She's a victim of bad luck, a broken heart and jaded trust, left to pick the pieces up all alone. No, she didn't choose this life, just wanted to be a good wife. Now she's raising her babies upright on her own. She's out climbing mountains, swimming across oceans, keeping it together, praying for better weather. This road she's traveling on, sitting tall in the saddle, fighting through every battle. With her will, she'll find a way to keep a smile.
See why it brings some tears to the single moms. What a great song and a great tribute, man.
Thank
really,
you. Yeah,
really.
Thank you.
Awesome. Another song to be congratulated about. So you've been coming since February.
Yeah, yeah. Just doing the singing out and song, the song right around.
Where have you been?
Well, somewhere in Texas.
Somewhere.
Somewhere in Texas. I'm writing it down.
That's we're gonna write that.
We got to write it before the podcast comes out.
Yeah. That's our idea.
We'll do a quick supplementary guide thing there. Well, awesome guys, very very nice. It's so good to have you and get to know you a little bit,
yes, sir.
A little bit better. some great songs. And could you share another one maybe that you and Jimmy wrote together?
Sure.
And the story behind it? That's what we'd love to have, the story behind it.
Yeah.
And I've always said I love the live songs around the time.
Yeah, well, this song, I'm 41, and, I used to say I was chasing a dream by coming up here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I thought about it, and the more Jim and I talked back and forth about what we're doing, we realize that this is not just chasing a dream. This is our mission, and this is our calling. Kind of like what missionaries are led to feel like when they felt led to go abroad or to share the gospel or somewhere within the States. But, you know, God gave me this gift to play and sing and write songs, and gave Jim the gift of writing songs. And together we really put a lot of things together to make some really great music and that really inspire people. And we actually met with a pastor of a church that Jim goes to and shared a Pew for You and another song we wrote together before that one called What I Don't Deserve, which is a really killer song as well. But we told him that being at his church inspired us to write these songs as well. They prayed over us and said, there's more to come. Mm-hmm. And before we knew it, we thought we had written one great song with What I Don't Deserve. And then 3 weeks later, we write A Pew for You. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't wrong. And God's never wrong. He gave me this bug, I feel like, to... He told me to go to Nashville. I was told, don't waste your time to go songwriter rounds. There's no hit writers there. And that was terrible advice. it really was.
Because that's how you connect with folks.
I know. And that's how you work your way into your group. And that when your group rises, you rise with that group. But I really felt a push to come here. And it's a lot of work to come here every other week in a big sacrifice. But I do it because I've been called to do this. And so I wrote this song with Jim. It's called Songs for You, but it's basically a songwriter's anthem. I mean, there's a lot of other things that I could be doing. I could be back home. I could be spending more time with my kids, my girlfriend, my family, working more. But I choose to do this because it's in my heart. And I want to share these songs with people because I feel like, music inspires and music heals and music, we feel love. There's just so many things about it and the inspirations. I always think like, am I going to run out of ideas?
That's a songwriter's fear. Right?
It is. Yeah. And then out of nowhere, here comes another one. It's like, and so I've learned to trust him and just say, there's no end to this.
I have to ask you, you're very spiritual, and I have to ask you this. My brother and I, who used to write, and we used to sing a lot together, and he was actually a much better guitar player than I. He always said, and I always agreed, that when we were singing, harmonizing together, whether we were playing in church or not, we felt closer to God. Do you feel that?
Absolutely.
When you're making that joyful noise?
And when I sing this on stage, I see the reactions that I get. And we're singing these songs in bars. You know, people there, maybe some go to church, but probably a lot don't. I mean, that bar is their church.
Yeah.
And we're bringing Jesus to the bars. And I tell you, when I introduce these songs, I say,
are you writing down hooks? Bringing Jesus to the bar.
Jesus in a bar.
Yeah.
Introduce these songs, you know, I ask the audience if there's any fans of Jesus out there, and the whole bar will erupt, and it completely gets everybody's attention. And I've had some of the roughest looking characters come up to me after my set and tell me, out of four or five songs that I played, that song, A Pew for You, hit them right, and they point right to their chest where their heart is. And that lets me know that what I'm doing is what God has called me to do, that this is my mission, and that it's affecting people in a positive way. And it may only be one person. And you may not, it may be the bartender, it may be another singer next to me, and I may never know, but we're planting seeds. And that's all you can do. And God takes the reins after that. And it's really neat. And it was funny, Jim and I were talking last night, and I told him, I said, do you realize that we think about singing these songs to people here on earth, and then one day when we go to heaven, we'll get to sing this song for Jesus face to face. Mm. And it just kind of dawned on me. So we're going to write that song too. but it's, you know, we're writing for now and for the future. Mm. So, but yeah, we wrote this song. It's called Songs for You. And I hope you guys like this one. I climb these steps, I walk out on this stage, guitar on my neck, strings tuned to play, stand behind the mic and look out in the dark, fight the butterflies and then pour out my heart. I could be a doctor or a teacher, go and get my PhD and save a life, change the world with a new discovery. I could run for president or get on a ship and fly to the moon, but I'd rather just sing my songs for you. Yeah, I've got bills overdue that I can't pay, but one day I will when I catch my big break. No, I don't mind living a little down on my luck, 'cause when you listen, I feel like a million bucks. I could be a doctor or a teacher, go and get my PhD and save a life, change the world with a new discovery. I could run for president or get on a ship and fly it to the moon, but I'd rather just sing my songs for you. It's my mission, it's my calling, yeah, it's more than just a dream. There's no doubt in my heart, I'm right where God wants me to be. 'Cause I'm a writer, I'm a singer, ain't too proud to play for free, to save a life, change the world with words and melody. Sitting here in this spotlight, it feels like I'm dancing on the moon when I get to play these songs for you. Yeah, when I get to play my songs for you.
That's awesome, man. Good write.
Thank you.
You two guys, Jim Hawkins and Aaron Loy, our guests on the Songwriter Connection podcast. I have to tell you about one of the podcasts, and I couldn't even tell you the numbers now. This is, what did I tell you, episode 192. But somewhere in the past, if you look through the archives, there was an interview with a wonderful young gentleman named Ben Fuller. And Ben came over here with his manager, Crystal Polychronis, who I got to know a little bit through the songwriting community. And she was managing him at the time. And he told the amazing story about how he felt called. And, you know, he got me from the very first song about when he was going through troubled times and he tried to kill himself. Mm-hmm. He went out in the woods and, you know, and the gun misfired and fell and he survived and he gave his whole life over to God. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this song and put it on his first record. And, you know, shortly thereafter, this guy signed a deal with a major Christian artist company, and had a number one song, And I've been following Ben ever since. He's just a great guy. And I'll tell you, I get the same feeling listening to your songs and your story. And I want to thank you for being on the show.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having us. Yeah. This has been great. Sharing our story. Yeah. It really means a lot.
Jim, any last thoughts or words?
Well, I guess the one thing that I would say is that I am so aware of how God directs my path. Mm-hmm. Puts me in touch with Aaron, puts me in places that I have no idea I'm going to be the day before and meeting the people that I'm supposed to meet. And it's like, what a joy and trip it is.
Absolutely.
And has been for me here in Nashville. I just love every minute of it.
It's great to have you both. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.